The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Pros2Preps.com. I am not Brad Sesmatt. Bradley has the day off. I am Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy today. Looking forward to it. Lots of stuff going on in the world of sports. And anytime the good friends here call upon me to fill in for a few moments, I jump at the opportunity. Love what these guys do over here at Pros2Preps.com. And it's always great to have a chance to visit with my old friends and talk to you guys for a couple of hours. And we'll do that today. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, I'm stoked about this guest, Jake Plummer. Jake the Snake, the former ASU standout, former Arizona Cardinal, Denver Bronco, and of course now a Pac-12 Network studio analyst, breaking it down. Jake comes out of his shell of playing handball and looking like the Unabomber, and now all of a sudden he's like pretty boy again on TV. It's like the ASU days for Jake. Looking forward to talking to Jake, one of my favorite people of all time. So that is coming up in just about 15 minutes. Also today, bottom of the hour, Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider. We'll talk to him about everything going on. This NFL season is wacky. I can't even put my finger on it. I mean, Pittsburgh, terrible. Giants, god-awful. There are some really big-name football teams that are horrendous. Atlanta, hello. Who didn't think Atlanta was going to win 10, 11 games this year, get to the playoffs once again? Tony Gonzalez comes back. That might not happen. They just lost Julio Jones for the year, and they are in trouble. Matty Ryan's lost two games at home, back-to-back, for the first time ever in his career. So we'll talk to Clark Judge about the surprises on both the positive and the negative, the ones that are winning and the ones that are losing. So that's coming up in just a little bit as well. And we've got some Suns to talk about, preseason action. We don't really get too hot and bothered usually over the preseason, but this is a different year for the Phoenix Suns, one like we have never seen. That could be a good thing or a really bad thing, but we'll talk about that as well. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, huge game against the San Francisco 49ers. If there is a rivalry for the Arizona Cardinals, this is it. But first, let's find out what's going on in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino, just 3 miles south of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. It's almost ski season. See how cold it is today, E? I woke up this morning. I'm like, what's going on? It was raining. It's cold. I love it.
50s.
50s. Yeah, the lows. That's beautiful. You can head up to the Sunrise Ski Resort. Make sure you stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Let's get into it as we talk about some of the big things going on. It was game five. You gotta love game fives, elimination games in Major League Baseball in the divisional playoffs. And I do love that they still go five games. I think in the NBA, it should be five games still. I liked when it was five games. There's more urgency on the better team to take care of business, get it over with. Remember the Suns went down 0-2 against the Lakers and had to win three in a row? That was great drama, great theater. In seven-game series, 90% of the time, the better team wins, in my opinion. 85-90% of the time, the better team will figure out a way in seven games to win it. In baseball, in the divisional series, it's five games. Everything was on the line last night for the St. Louis Cardinals and the surprise Pittsburgh Pirates, who hadn't seen the postseason in a long, long time. They were trying to advance to the National League Championship Series, but then this happened.
He's set, and the pitch to David Freese. Swinging a long one into left. Get up, baby. Get up, get up, get up. Oh, yeah, a two-run home run for David Freese. The Cardinals are on top, 2-0.
I don't know who that play-by-play guy is, but he's been there forever.
Mike Shannon.
Mike
Sorry,
Shannon.
I should put
Yeah, no, that's okay. He's great. He's fine.
He has been there forever.
Forever.
Ash.
Get up, baby.
Decades.
Yeah. Well, the St. Louis Cardinals seems like they've been good for decades, and that was just a little bit of what went down last night as the Cardinals take care of the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-1 in Game 5. Adam Wainwright. This guy, when it comes like to clutch situations, he's pretty good. He goes the complete game, eight-hit, not shutout. He gave up the one run. He was 2-0 in this series with a 1.13 ERA. And everyone at home scratching their head going, man, how do the Cardinals always do it? Pujols leaves. That was the most brilliant move maybe in the history of Major League Baseball. It's probably a stretch. But in the last decade of not giving Albert Pujols what he wanted.
You got no one to hold him.
And you got no one to say, see ya, buddy.
That's it.
I heard a stat. The St. Louis Cardinals had Albert Pujols for 10 years and paid him $110 million.
It's a bargain.
Are you kidding?
One, that's the best bargain in baseball.
Two World Series, yep. Right? And 10 years, $110 million. And what did Moreno, the guy in Anaheim, pay?
Probably
$200
something? Yeah, something like that.
For another 10 years. What do you think those last 10 years are going to be like? I'm telling you, it's going to be the worst contracts in baseball. It's going to make A-Rods look palatable. I mean, it's just, ugh. Anyway, props to the St. Louis Cardinals. Here they are again, National League Championship Series with guys like Yadier Molina, Alan Craig, Matt Carpenter of TCU, righty?
Of course.
Matt Holliday, Beltran. It's like a no-name team. I mean, not no-name. They're names, but they're not superstars. They will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, or the Doyers, as some of my friends call them, in St. Louis, game one, tomorrow night. I'm assuming Greinke goes in game one, probably, just because Kershaw just pitched, but who knows what the Dodgers are going to do. I'll give you some baseball predictions later. There is a game five tonight, another elimination game, A's and Tigers, and the A's are going to throw rookie Sonny Gray, who was dominant the other day, against Justin Verlander. They're not going with Jabba the Hutt, Bartolo Colon. How fat is Bartolo Colon, by the way? Are you kidding me?
He's old, too. We're not sure how old he is.
Fat. I was watching the game with my wife the other day, and she's like, oh, my God, how can you be that fat and be a professional athlete? I'm like, all right, that's not nice to say.
Yeah, pitchers can get away with being fat.
But she laughed. She's like, that's the only sport. And I said, well, football guys are fat, too. She goes, just the offensive lineman. You can't be a wide receiver and be fat. I'm like, good call. Can be a quarterback, kind of be a little chunky. Anyway, so that's the baseball playoffs, of course, in the American League. The Red Sox await the winner of tonight's game. And I'll tell you who I think is going to play for the World Series in just a few minutes. Let's move on. We'll talk Suns later in this hour. But right now, let's get to the Arizona Cardinals as the Arizona Cardinals take on the San Francisco 49ers Sunday in San Francisco. Darnell Dockett knows how intense this game can be.
Everybody says it's just another game, but if you've been here for history, it ain't just another game. It's one of those games where you're going to have to put your big boy pads on. It ain't going to be no arena football. It's going to be man up. And, you know, they're going to test your will. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah, what they do. San Francisco is good. They're not as good as they were last year, though. They are not as good. Look at the quarterback play. We might have got a little too high and mighty on Mr. Colin Kaepernick there. His passer rating is like 81. Alex Smith is like 83 in Kansas City. It's better. Kaepernick has not been that great this year. He had the one really good game, I think, against Green Bay. And then that was it. So, you know, but San Fran's good. The one thing that I think gives the Cardinals a chance, I don't think the Cardinals win this Sunday, but the one thing that does give them a chance, their defense is completely different when one guy, number 58, is in the lineup. Here's B.A. Bruce Arians talking about his star linebacker.
Very unique. Been around some really good inside linebackers in Pittsburgh and in Cleveland when I was up there. But his speed factor separates him from other inside backers. You know, I mean, he's got tremendous speed and quickness. And he still likes to bring it, too. I mean, he's a thumper.
He, of course, is Darrell Washington, D-Wash, who missed the first four games of the year due to suspension. But, man, I mean, you saw it last week. I mean, he frees up Carlos Dansby to be Carlos Dansby instead of Carlos Dansby trying to be Darrell Washington, which he can't do because Carlos is getting old. But Dansby gets to the quarterback. Other guys, Calais got to the quarterback. Dockett was wreaking havoc. Yeah. I mean, they got to Cam Newton all day. I'm telling you, one of the big reasons is because Darrell Washington from
TCU. And it's a shame, Ash, that he wasn't available for the Saints game, because Arian said that week that there are very, very few, if any, linebackers in the NFL that can track Jimmy Graham just because of his size and his speed.
Right.
Darrell Washington's one of those. You know, obviously, if it's some ifs and buts for candy and nuts, you know how that goes. But
I don't really know how it goes. Yeah, but it sounds tasty.
It does.
Okay. No, I agree. Look, this guy, and by his own fault, I mean, he was a knucklehead this offseason. Complete knucklehead. A
couple times.
So, you know, I'm not crying a river here for Darrell Washington. Like, oh, man, he got screwed over. No, he did it to himself. Hopefully, he can be on the straight and narrow. Tyrann Mathieu is on the straight and narrow. He's doing a great job.
You know, I mean, great job. Is he not one of the biggest surprises of the year in the NFL? Third-round pick. He is producing.
Big time.
Big time. So, look, I think the Arizona Cardinals, and by the way, we have a Facebook question today. The Arizona Cardinals are winning. The offense is struggling. We're going to talk about that in a minute with Carson Palmer. He's thrown 9 picks in 5 games. That's not very good. But, in my opinion, he has thrown some big-time passes when he had to win games. One of our writers here at prostopreps.com, Greg Esposito, Espo, well, I'm pretty sure I got him in the business. I got a lot of guys in the business. Anyway, he says it's time for a change under center. Do you agree? Head over to facebook.com/prostopreps, like our page, and then share your input. We'll go over that a little bit later on. Again, I'm Mark Asher. For those of you who don't remember or don't know the voice, Mark Asher. I am here today filling in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat.
I remember you.
Thanks, E. I really appreciate that. The Brad Sesmat Show here on pros2preps.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, Jake Plummer, and we'll talk to him about everything college football. He's now an analyst with the Pac-12 Network. He does his thing in studio there. Big game tonight in the Pac-12, and big game for the folks down in Tucson. Arizona, the Wildcats, coming off a kind of embarrassing game the last time they played. They're 3-1. They are going to take on Ed Orgeron. He was the old Ole Miss coach, right?
He was.
He was not. He was not doing it on the up and up at Ole Miss. I can tell you that right now.
He was not.
USC goes in without Lane Kiffin, who was fired. And then, actually, I have a really funny Lane Kiffin story. Can I tell you guys real quick? Really funny. 1 minute. All right. So one of my coworkers is at a party with Lane Kiffin, right? And it's Lane Kiffin's birthday party. and he's there with his wife. Well, Lane Kiffin... this older lady comes up, and my friend's talking to a group of people. This older lady comes up, and my buddy's little, you know, he's got a couple, you know, he's feeling loose, and he says, "Hey, what brings you to Lane's party?" It was Lane Kiffin's mother, and at the same time, his wife is on the other side of the room talking to Monty Kiffin, not knowing who it is, and says, "So, what do you think of Lane?"
Oh,
let's just say it didn't go well for the family that was attending the party. I don't know if it lasted very long. It's pretty funny. Anyway,
I'd be happy to attend any party that Lane Kiffin's wife
she's smoking.
Is at, but probably not Lane.
He's such a... anyway, big game tonight, though. Arizona can win this game. They've got to get better play from their quarterback position. And we'll talk to Jake Plummer about that. Plus, Arizona State coming off of what I think was a disappointing loss to Notre Dame. They had it. They had their chances. And they did not come through in the end. And the Fighting Irish get the win. And then there's some other big games in college football this weekend, including Florida, LSU, and a few others. So we'll talk about all that with Jake Plummer. That's coming up next. Again, I'm Mark Asher. You can follow me on Twitter, Mark Asher 32. Facebook, just good old my name, Mark Asher. And you can follow me there. Again, when we come back, the Jake Plummer Show, presented by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. That's coming up next. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for Brad Sesmat, prostopreps.com.
React and interact to today's Pros to Preps question of the day at facebook.com/prostopreps.
More of the Brad Sesmat Show here on prostopreps.com. I am Mark Asher filling in for the big guy today. I'm pumped about our next guest joining us. He's back. I kind of felt a couple years ago listening to him and talk that he was getting the itch a little bit to get back into it. And he's been working with some young guys. And now he gets to sit in the studio and kind of tell us what he sees out there in the Pac-12 as a Pac-12 Network studio analyst. This segment is brought to you by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Time now to welcome aboard former Denver Broncos, Arizona Cardinal, of course, Sun Devil Jake Plummer. Jake, Mark Asher, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Good to talk to you. You enjoying that new gig over there? Seems like you are.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting, you know, to get to see the inner workings, what goes on, and, you know, kind of understand now what those guys that are on TV at halftime and in between, be it post games and pre-games, kind of what they go through. And, you know, my first one went well, but I learned as weeks went, you know, as they go, you got to kind of stay up to speed on what's happening around the Pac-12 and mainly just kind of keep watching games and kind of see what's happening, and then obviously having a little bit of a knowledge of the game and being able to watch and analyze a little bit helps. And so it's fun. I enjoy it. I like the amount of times I'm going. If it was a weekly thing or I had to do it all week long, it might get a little redundant.
Right.
It's fun to get into it and kind of now have a pulse on the Pac-12 and get to kind of watch and get to know some of these players, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, honest answer here. A lot of the players, while they're playing, they look at some of the media types like, oh, these guys, you know, they got it so easy to sit up there and yap about players, and they have no accountability. Now that you've done it, is it easier than you thought or harder?
It's definitely a challenge. Like I said, it's one thing to have to watch the games, do the research, and, you know, they give us topics that we're working on and what we're going to, you know, talk about at the, you know, pregame and postgame shows and whatnot. But, yeah, just kind of, you know, take your time to take notes. And I always try to focus on, why one team is winning and why the other isn't. And sometimes, you know, it can be real glaring. Other times you kind of have to just watch and hopefully, my knowledge of the game and the amount of time I've played, I can pick something out. And, you know, I guess we're considered media, but, really I'm more of an analyst than I am media. And as far as being an analyst goes, you know, I'm just watching and kind of seeing what they do. And it's kind of fun. They pay me to watch football games.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Exactly. The Jake Plummer Show here on the Brad Sesmat Show. A lot of shows going on here on prostopreps.com. This, of course, segment brought to you by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Jake with the Pac-12 Network now. Hey, as you watched ASU, your alma mater, take on Notre Dame, big, you know, spotlight football game in Dallas there in the big stadium, which is amazing stadium, by the way. But just your thoughts. Like, I'm hearing a lot of negativity after the game. People are kind of down on the QB a little bit, down on the, you know, the coach, the defense. Yeah, it would have been a great signature win. I don't know what it tells us about ASU right now at 3-2, to be quite honest. But what did you take from that football game?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was actually up here running the handball tournament, and you know, I was a tournament director, so I was extremely busy and actually did not see any of the game. I just kind of heard about it. I know that ASU didn't win. I've yet to sit down and watch it and analyze it. So, you know, as far as the people that get upset, I mean, each week there's games that everybody builds up, and I get so tired of hearing, game of the millennium, the game of the decade, the game of today. I mean, they build up these games so much, and I think fans got to understand, you know, what Coach Graham's trying to do there is build a program that garners respect, and the only way to do that is to play the big boys. And really, it's back-to-back weeks, USC, Notre Dame. That's two of the biggest programs in the history of college football, and
right,
you beat one of them one week, and the coach gets fired, which, you know, we put a statement on them, on USC in our own division, which was a much bigger win than the Notre Dame win could have been. The Notre Dame loss, it doesn't hurt the football team at all. It hurts fans that hate Notre Dame and can't stand Notre Dame and want ASU to win. But otherwise, it was a big experience for these young kids, a great chance to go to a huge stadium and play on a national stage. Yeah, they didn't win. It could have been something, you know, it is Notre Dame who, now they might be ranked in the top 10. Now they beat ASU. Who knows? It's Notre Dame. They're blown out of proportion. But getting to play them on a big scale was a great experience. Now, one that hopefully they learn from and realize that they could have won the game and they probably should have, but they now can go back and get focused in back on Pac-12 play. Now, the fans out there, you know, they get, like I said, they get so worked up week to week that, you know, the game of the century doesn't turn out to be that. Now they're upset and they want change. And, you know, I've spoke on this before, and I would have been benched my junior year, probably my sophomore year at ASU, with all the scrutiny and all of the, you know, the social media and all this. Now people would have been up in arms at my play, but now I've gone on with time. Now I'm the 97 year considered one of the big stars from ASU history, and so, you know, people got to relax, enjoy what the team's trying to do, and give them your wholehearted ASU faith. If you're maroon and gold, then you don't get down on them when they lose. You try to bring them up.
The Jake Plummer Show here on prostopreps.com. Talking about ASU, they've got an easier game, but this weekend, Colorado not very good. Big game tonight in the Pac-12 has those Wildcats taking on USC. Are you shocked at just everything that's gone on at USC? And just, I mean, obviously the sanctions hurt, but now Kiffin's out. They're going to have to do a nationwide search for a new coach, and they're not getting the same kind of recruits. And, you know, we had been accustomed to seeing USC be pretty good. But I go back to the days when you were in college, USC was kind of going through a down time then as well, weren't they?
Yeah, but, you know, USC, they carry that air about them that they're the kings of the Pac-12. And, you know, sometimes that can come back and bite you. And I know that when we played them, they came out and said that they didn't recruit any of our players, that no starter on our team was recruited by them. And it's like, come on, we got letters. I got letters from them. And that's why, you know, you love USC if you went there. And if you didn't, everyone else kind of despises them and doesn't like their arrogance and all that. And I don't like seeing teams struggle because I know that they're young kids that are trying their best. And, you know, I think they have a wealth of talent there. They just have kind of a limited number of players, but that's where coaching comes in. If you don't have all the five-star recruits in the world, how much are you really coaching anyway? And if you're lacking in those recruits, you know, you got to coach. You got to coach walk-on kids and two-star and three-star recruits that fill the rosters of every other Pac-12 team, and you got to coach them into being good players. So, you know, they got to find somebody. I don't feel too bad for USC because they are USC. There'll be a long line of coaches waiting and wanting and yearning for that job, so they'll have no problem replacing Lane Kiffin. You know, but they're still a talented team with a very, very good defense. And, you know, I think if they want to catch up offensively, they got to get a quarterback that doesn't have a knee brace, that isn't slow and flat-footed, to go in and lead that offense and provide some spark, you know, like a kid that isn't a five-star recruit that's playing for Utah State, Chucky Keaton. There's a quarterback that knows how to play football. You put him on any of these Pac-12 teams and watch out, you know.
Right.
So hopefully they give a kid like that a chance and don't just go for the five-star kid that went to every single Nike elite camp and has all the pedigree but not quite the ability to lead. So we'll see what happens.
That's a great point. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for Brad Sesmat today on pros2preps.com. We're visiting with Jake Plummer, former Sun Devil, now with the Pac-12 Network studio analyst. I want to ask you, before I ask you about the big game in the Pac-12 this weekend, because it was brought up in last week's UW-Stanford game, and I don't know what is going on, but I've heard it a lot, probably within the last 3-4 months when football kind of got going, and it's the faking injury to buy yourself some time. UW said that Stanford did it. I think Jerry Jones said it, or someone said it about the Cowboys. I mean, there's all these different, you know, people calling people out saying, oh, they were faking injuries, slow down the clock. I get it when you're playing Oregon. If you could get a breather, then cool. But I don't know that these guys are faking injury. Or I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Did you guys ever do that back in the day?
No, never. You know, I was a player that played 100% all heart. I figured and I believe that if you fake an injury, it's similar to calling and trying to get like a bereavement fare on an airfare when no one in your family passed away. It's bad karma. It's bad to do that. It's not honest. It's not the right kind of game you want to preach to kids. I don't think it gets to where you're playing a chess match between head coaches and who can come up with the next idea to try to thwart your success. And I never would ever have done that. If they'd asked me to, I'd have said no thanks. The only time I ever thought about faking an injury, and I tried and lobbied hard as I could to get the play in, was against U of A my senior year. I wanted to pick a time whenever it was right and it would have been my call to act like I got hurt and let Steve Campbell come in and run the pitch pass throwback to Steve Campbell, but our coaches wouldn't go for it. So that was the only time I would have faked an injury, is if it would have helped our team
right, to
get, you know, a good play in. But, you know, it's the day and age of the fast offense, and everybody's copying that. And so what are defenses going to do? You know, they still have the big 300-pound D linemen that aren't in good shape. So what, either you get in shape so you can keep up, or you get, you know, more quicker, faster, not as, you know, guys that don't get tired out as much on the D line that can run with these high octane offenses. But, you know, I think it's gamesmanship. It's just a way of a coach trying to get an edge up, I guess.
All right, take me back to 18-year-old Jake Plummer, Idaho, getting ready to go to college, but that is right now in 2013. And you were choosing between Stanford and Oregon. Stanford, a little bit more pro offense. Oregon, fun. Where would Jake Plummer go?
I'd probably go to Stanford, just because when I was coming out, I was into the education was what I wanted. I wanted to go to the school because of college for the, you know, the education. It wasn't to be a starter to groom me for the NFL. It was to go get a college education. And Stanford actually was the top of my list back when I was coming out of high school, but they ended up taking Scott Frost, and they didn't need another quarterback. So, you know, I had my other choices, and obviously ASU was the next one in line. But you know, it's a weird deal. The recruiting process has changed. It's all been the high level and high, you know, intensity facilities they're putting in now that are geared towards, you know, the players. And it's a special time. Like, that's kind of my talk with Taylor Kelly when I was there. Is everything they're doing at ASU is for you, for the players, for your success. And you got to take advantage of that. You got to make the most of it. And, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing and doing what your coaches ask you, because everything that's going on in that building is for them to have success. And, you know, as a young kid, that's nice. Take advantage of that, because when you get out of college, you get into the real world, it's not quite like that.
All right. Now, in your honest opinion, which team this year, without Jake Plummer on it, is better, Oregon or Stanford?
Okay, so if I was on one of those teams...
No, now I'm taking you out of the equation.
Oh, okay, good.
you chose education. You don't get to be on the field now. I'm just kidding. But, no, I mean, I guess I was kind of asking you, like, the styles are so different. I mean, Oregon's just, yeah, you know, all over the place and spread it out. Doesn't necessarily get you ready for the NFL. I know that's why you didn't go to college. And then Stanford's a little more like that. I just think they're two contrasting football teams, and they're obviously, in my opinion, the two best teams in the Pac-12.
Yeah, they're far and above, I think, the cream of the crop in the Pac-12. I think, for me, if I broke it down, I would say Stanford holds the best hopes for a national title. Although Oregon, too, is right there. It's just that they have been slowed down by Stanford. You know, they have been slowed down by the teams that play that really solid offense that can grind it out, you know, stay in second and six and third and three. And Stanford is just so good at doing that. They take their shots when they can, but they seem to just grind it out. And their defense, I think everyone knows, I think the best defense in the Pac-12 is Stanford. I mean, that D-line is amazing. Those guys are real smart. They bend a little bit, but they don't break. And, you know, I don't know. They're going to play each other, and one of them will lose. But hopefully the one that wins can continue on and carry it to the end of the year so that we get a chance to represent the Pac-12 in the BCS championship game. And I think eventually it's going to change. But I keep telling people, if you want it to change faster, don't watch Alabama versus LSU for the national title. Just turn your TVs off.
Right.
I hope someone else gets in the mix. I really hope Oregon and Stanford can ride it out. Either one, I'd be happy to watch. I love both their styles, their quarterbacks, and their players, and they're both fun teams to watch.
Yeah, tough game for Oregon this weekend against UW, but they're both talented. Hey, leave me with this. I know you spend some of your time out there in Colorado. Bronco Mania, they're 5-0. Are you buying in, though? Their defense isn't very good.
I think I'm buying in, because you got Von Miller and Champ Bailey coming back soon, and you know, those guys are two of the best ever. I think, you know, they're going to add a little bit more fire to that defense and bring even just more confidence back onto the field of a team that's already pretty confident. And I think, you know, with Peyton Manning, they're just so smart on offense, and he's raising the level of all those guys. You can't trick him. You might be able to trick some of the young guys he's playing with, but, you know, they look pretty good. There's still a long ways to go,
yeah.
But I think if they continue to play at the level they're playing, that, you know, like right now, they're a big time favorite to be in the Super Bowl, and you know, we'll see how it goes. There's still, like I said, there's a lot of games left.
Absolutely. All right, Jake. Hey, always good to catch up with you. I appreciate the time. Keep up the good work on the Pac-12 Network, and who knows, maybe we'll catch up again down the road. All right.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. Have a good one, man.
All right, see you, bud. Jake Plummer, former Sun Devil quarterback, former Arizona Cardinal, Denver Bronco, and now with the Pac-12 Network breaking it down on TV, although he didn't watch the ASU Notre Dame game. Good. That's probably a good call. I hope he has it on TiVo, DVR. I don't think you can just call that up on DirecTV on your when you want it now, whatever that's called. Anyway, the Jake Plummer Show is presented by the Tostitos Fiesta. We thank them for that sponsorship. Well, when we come back, Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider. We'll see if the Broncos are for real and what has gone on with some of these really bad teams in the National Football League. That's coming up. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for big guy Brad Sesmat today, right here on pros2preps.com.
Get all the latest Arizona sports news from the high schools to the pros. Follow us on Twitter at pros2preps.
The Brad Sesmat Show here on pros2preps.com. I am Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy today. Appreciate the opportunity. Always good to catch up with Jake Plummer. Now it's time to talk some NFL football. And to do that, we talk with longtime NFL insider Clark Judge. Clark, Mark Asher, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Chick Plummer, one of my favorite guys, and a great interview.
Great guy. I mean, we go back to his days when he was the snake here at ASU, and then not such a great ending of the Arizona Cardinals, but he did take him to the playoffs that one year and beat the Cowboys, which was about the best thing that had ever happened in Arizona for a pro football team. And now, obviously, he's doing his thing with the Pac-12 Network. So, yeah, always great to catch up with Jake. Hey, let me ask you, as we keep it local to start, the Arizona Cardinals, maybe a surprising 3-2. I was looking at the Vegas odds when the season started. I think the over-under for Cardinals wins was 5.5. But now they really are starting to get into the meat of their schedule. Before we get to that, just your take on the 3-2 start, the play of Carson Palmer and the defense.
Yeah, I think what we're getting from Carson Palmer is sort of what we expected, improved play from anyone last year, especially Kevin Cobb. But he's an improvement over what they had last year. He isn't the franchise quarterback or the quarterback he was with Cincinnati. I think he had his moments in Oakland, and I know coaches I spoke to this year said he's going to light it up in Arizona. He can still do it. He's not exactly lighting it up, but it's a different situation. I mean, you've got an offensive line that's not very good, hasn't protected quarterbacks in the back, and you don't have much of a running game. So he's in a different situation, but the fact of the matter is he's winning more games than he's losing,
right.
And that's good. And that's good. And I think the Arizona defense always, to me, is a staple. You can always count on them. You can count on them to keep them in games. And you look at that game a couple weeks ago when they're playing Tampa Bay and Patrick Peterson makes the interception at the end. Boy, that's what you want to see from a guy like Patrick Peterson. And then the next play, I think it was the very next play, they turn around and they go straight at Darrell Revis and Palmer makes the throw to Larry Fitzgerald. That's what you want to see from these guys. 3-2, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. But Brad and I talked about the last couple of weeks. I think, we both agreed they had to win those last two games just because they should win them. If they're any good, they should. They should beat Tampa Bay because everyone's beating Tampa Bay.
Right.
And they should beat Carolina. Carolina on the road in Arizona. It was going to be a tough win for them nonetheless. And I like what happened last weekend. Now you're right. You're getting to the teeth of the schedule. You're going to San Francisco. That's going to be tough. I mean, the 49ers have gotten back on track of playing well. And then getting Seattle at home. I don't expect them to beat San Francisco, but Seattle at home is the game I really want to see simply because the Seahawks are in the middle of a grind where they're at home actually this week, but where they had 4 road games and 5 dates. That's tough for them. It's tough for anyone in those circumstances, but Seattle's not a good road team, and they've demonstrated that. They squeaked past Carolina. They squeaked past Houston, the game they should have lost. Then they lost last weekend. So that, to me, will be a measure of this ball club. Yeah, they're better than I thought. How good are they? I think we'll find out in a couple weeks.
We are visiting with Clark Judge. I'm Mark Asher here filling in on the Brad Sesmat Show, pros2preps.com. I have a Vikings buddy who was all in on the Freeman thing. He said, it's great. You're paying him just a little bit of money. You get to see what it's all about. You get a free look, if you will, at the guy. I wasn't buying it as much, but I guess it makes sense. I don't know. They got 3 quarterbacks there, and I don't think any of them are very good.
Yeah, when you have 3 quarterbacks, you have none, honestly.
Right.
That's something that we learned a long time ago. They had 2 before, and that tells you something about their quarterback situation. They can't make up their mind because there's not a guy there who they have a conviction about. Yeah, I know they tell you that Ponder's the guy, and Leslie Frazier said if he's healthy, he's going to be the guy. Matt Castle's starting again this week, and that's the way it looks at least. And now you bring in Josh Freeman. Well, if you had a conviction about Christian Ponder, what are you doing bringing this guy in? And I understand what your friend's saying, but all it does is muddle and mix up the situation because when Castle came in, I felt very strongly they brought him in there to push Christian Ponder, and I know some guys on that coaching staff, and honestly, they didn't disagree with me, but Rick Spielman, the GM, said, no, that's not the case. Ponder's our starter. Well, now you look at it, and we're only 5 weeks into the season. Is Ponder your starter? I mean, or was it Matt Castle? Or what are you doing toying around with Josh Freeman? Why would you bring him in here if you had a conviction about either of the two guys? And apparently they don't. And as I said, that's not a good recipe for trying to get back to the playoffs when you don't have a conviction about your quarterback. So I understand what your friend's saying, but I think it's a really mixed-up world now that they've got a quarterback.
It is. Let me ask you of the disappointments this year, maybe the one you saw coming or maybe had an inkling of. I mean, the Giants are 0-5. The Steelers are 0-4. And I think maybe after week one when Pouncey went down, we were all like, uh-oh, they could be in trouble right there. But and then, you know, you've got – obviously we knew Jacksonville was going to be bad. And I guess I'd throw maybe Minnesota in the mix, playoff team last year. Was there one of those 3, Minnesota, New York, or Pittsburgh, that at the beginning of the year you said they could be a down team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Minnesota was the team I pegged. And, in fact, I talked to Brad about that in earlier times about this, and I said that the team that I was most concerned about was Minnesota simply because how did they get there last year? They had a late run, thanks to Adrian Peterson's 2,000 yards. Well, he's not going to rush for 2,000 yards again. That right. just is demonstrated by history. He probably won't run for 1,500 yards. That, again, is history that shows you 2,000-yard rushers really struggle the next year. So the question was, if they don't have Adrian Peterson, what do they have? They just subtracted Percy Harvin, and now you've got Christian Ponder, and I think what we just talked about gives you a reason why I thought they might be going in the other direction. If you're leaning more in Christian Ponder and Adrian Peterson can't produce as he did last year, that means you're going backwards. And I saw them as a team that's going to be 500 or below, and I think that's where they're headed.
My biggest shock of the better teams in the NFL, I'll just throw a couple out. New Orleans, yes. I think we knew Denver was going to be there, but Kansas City at 5-0. And I think some people are a little surprised that Indy is 4-1, you know, even though they were a playoff team last year. And I like Indy. I think they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And they demonstrated what they are when they went to San Francisco and destroyed the 49ers. That got our attention. Last week, they solidified it by beating Seattle at home. Now you know they're a legit team. Yeah, of those teams, honestly, the one that surprised me the most is Indianapolis, because when Brad and I were going over the disappointments, the team I said second that I thought might go backwards was Indianapolis, not because of anything to do with Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck will have much better numbers because he's the one young quarterback to me who is bulletproof. You look at him and say, this guy is going to be a great, great quarterback, barring a serious injury. But you look at the rest of the team and you go, boy, they seemed to like catch lightning in a bottle last year. A lot of things went the right way for them under very trying circumstances. The head coach situation was really sad, and yet they responded to it under Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians is gone now. They've had a lot of comeback last-minute wins. Is that going to happen again? Well, as Andrew Luck demonstrated, it can. That's why I didn't think that was going to happen. I just thought they caught something last year that was magical, probably couldn't do it again this year. They seem to have gotten it. And now you look in that division, you go, they're the team to beat in that division. It's not Houston anymore. It's Indianapolis. And I will say of the others, honestly, New Orleans and Kansas City, I'd written something a couple months ago, and those were my top two teams I picked for kind of coming off of the bottom feeder status or teams that had been down who were going to rebound. Kansas City was number one. New Orleans is number two.
That's good.
And actually number three was Detroit. So.
All right, Atlanta, like Panic City. They've lost two in a row at home. Matty Ryan's never done that. They're 1-4. They probably fit into that disappointment category as well. And now Julio Jones is out for the year. I mean, do you see a silver lining, or is it just going to keep going this way for Atlanta?
No, honestly, I think it's over for him. I mean, 5 weeks in the season, and your listeners are saying that's impossible. Well, yeah, it is. You shouldn't say it's over for anyone 5 weeks in the season, but is it over for the Giants? Yeah, it probably is, except they play in a rotten division. Is it over for Pittsburgh? It should be. They play in a rotten division, too. I mean, they can get back in there, but all of a sudden now Baltimore and Cincinnati are beginning to show life, okay? Now, that's the thing that's going to hurt them. The Giants, you know, I don't know where they're going to get a win. But then you look at a team like Atlanta. That was supposed to be one of the top teams in the NFC this year, if not the NFL. And look what they did in the offseason. They got Gonzalez back, bringing Steven Jackson, Umanura. They brought in some people that told you they're going for this year. This is going to be the push. And now they've fallen apart. And, you know, they're in a division where they're not going to win it. I mean, New Orleans is going to run away with that division. That's not a surprise to me, New Orleans will win that division. What is this team's falling apart. And now your top receiver, you've lost. Roddy White's banged up. The defense isn't playing very well. The offensive line can't protect Ryan. I don't see how these guys make the playoffs. As I said, I think now they're playing for next year.
Okay, leave me with this. Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider, joins us here on the Brad Sessmatt Show. You mentioned the Giants. You just said, I don't know when they're going to get a win. And, right. and I look at their schedule, and I mean, I don't think they're winning tonight in Chicago. They've got Minnesota. They got Philly on the road. Oakland at home, maybe. I always wonder with Tom Coughlin, because it all seemed like he was on the hot seat, and he'd go win a Super Bowl and it'd calm down. Is there something that would be too much to overcome this year for him to come back next year?
Yeah, I mean, if they continue the way they are going right now, and there's no sense to believe or no reason to believe that they're going to get any better, I could see him possibly walking away. I don't think he's going to get fired. In fact, I'm sure he's not going to get fired, A, because ownership believes in him, and B, because anyone who lives in New York, and I do, knows it's not Tom Coughlin who's the problem. It's the players. Their players stink. They don't have enough good players. Their offensive line can't protect Eli. Their running game can't protect him. He's throwing too many interceptions because they're playing from behind. They can't rush the passer anymore, which is what made them a Super Bowl team. in 2011, 2007, and their secondary is not very good either. So they've got a raft of problems. And honestly, if you live in this area, the finger's pointed more at GM Jerry Reese than is in Tom Coughlin. No, these guys didn't get stupid overnight, but Coughlin's unfortunately the victim of injuries to this team and some bad draft choices and bad acquisitions, and now it's all coming together, and you see what's happened. They can't win a game, and you're right, they're not going to win tonight, and I don't know when they're going to win, but they will eventually. But if Tom Coughlin goes, to me, it's going to be of his own volition. He's not going to be pushed out.
All right, Clark. Hey, good visit as always. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend of games, and we'll chat down the road, all right?
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks.
There you go. That's Clark Judge, a longtime NFL insider, and he's a weekly guest on the Brad Sessmatt Show here on pros2preps.com. If you're wondering, I'm Mark Asher filling in for the big guy today. We got a lot more to talk about, including the Phoenix Suns. Are they showing me a signs of screwing this thing up? I'll tell you about that when we come back. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Again, Mark Asher filling in for the big guy, Brad Sessmatt, right here on pros2preps.com.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at pros2preps.
Is this because I'm Slim Shady? Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Mark Asher filling in for the big guy, Brad Sessmatt, here on pros2preps.com. Hey, I want to take a moment to let all the listeners know of a great event. Now, I know it's kind of late notice here, but this is when I was scheduled to fill in. But a great event that's going on tomorrow night. It's called the Weekend Jetaway, and it's with my company, AXA Advisors. Of course, I'm with Southwest Wealth Strategies, and we work with AXA Advisors. It is a great charity event. It's held at the Scottsdale Air Park from 6:30 to 10, and it's actually someone wins a private jet. And that jet takes you to Vegas, and it's a big trip and all this stuff. But it's a phenomenal event. This is our second year. It benefits the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Scottsdale and the Pat Tillman Foundation. So two great charities, huge silent and live auction items that I've had a big hand in getting a lot of those and a lot of people. And it's just a party. There's great events, food from all these unbelievable restaurants in Scottsdale and all throughout the valley and drinks and stuff like that. It's all included with your ticket and your entry. If you want details, go to Weekend Jetaway, J-E-T-A-W-A-Y, weekendjetaway.org, and you can find out all about it. Again, two great charities. And it's tomorrow night if you want to get out to a great event. I will be there with my wife and a lot of friends, and it's going to be fun. So real quick, I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns. I see them screwing things up here. I know I'm joking. It's only the preseason. But the Suns beat the Blazers 104-98 in preseason play. The Suns are now 2-0 in the preseason. What did I see that I liked last night? Well, how about Channing Frye? Good job, Channing. I ran into Channing Frye in Aspen a couple months ago. I was on vacation there, and he was there. And he was there for Luke Walton's wedding. And
cool.
We were at the same bar, and he walked by. He's like, yeah, Channing, you know, whatever. And we started talking. And I said, how you feeling? He said, I feel great. I said, good, man. I'm praying for you, and I'm hoping for you, bud. And he went out last night in 16 minutes in his first action in over a year from being diagnosed with that heart condition. He was 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 14 points. That is great to see from Channing Frye. And I love you, Channing Frye, but now keep doing that. And then how about we trade Channing Frye to a contender? Because this is what I'm worried about. Channing Frye comes back, plays well. Goran Dragic had 19 last night and 5 assists in the backup point guard or role. Okay, that's a great game. And then Eric Bledsoe struggled from the field, 3 of 11, but he had 9 assists and 4 more steals. I think he has 9 steals in the first 2 preseason games. And then Marcin Gortat, who didn't play particularly well last night, but and then Marcus Moore. You see what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, I'm looking at this team. I'm like, wait, I don't want the Suns to be good. I want the Suns to be awful, horrendous, bottom of the barrel. We'll deal with it. Win 15 games. Cool, fine. We're all right with it. Because this upcoming draft with guys like Andrew Wiggins and some of the other big names that are in this draft, this is the draft to stink, okay? Not last year. Last year's wasn't very good. This year, top 4 or 5 picks are going to be phenomenal, in my opinion, or have the ability to be phenomenal.
So the Suns, your main concern is the Suns certainly aren't going to be good.
No.
But they're not going to be bad enough.
Right.
Time to make some trades. And Ryan McDonough's made great trades so far.
Jared Dudley for Eric
Bledsoe.
Completely
overhauled the roster.
Are you kidding me? And here's I'm telling you right now, Channing Frye on the block. Goran Dragic on the block. Marcin Gortat on the block. Shannon Brown's not going to really help you be better or worse, so whatever. I don't really care about him. And play Archie Goodwin. And play, I think Kendall Marshall's time in this league is short. Alex Len. Play Pumlee if you want. I don't care. And play the Morris twins and Eric Bledsoe. And just give me a healthy dose of that every single night. And you know what? If you want to go get more assets when you trade Marcin Gortat or Goran Dragic, who, by the way, I've heard Oklahoma City has some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make sense. Go get Jeremy Lamb or, you know, some of the young guys that they have on their team and just keep building assets, because guess what? When you have assets, you can now make moves. Boston did it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Minnesota was trying to do it the last couple years. You build assets. You get as many assets as you possibly can. And then when it's time to make a move, or you hope that some of these guys pan out and you get lucky, and then quickly you can go from the bottom of the barrel to, you know, maybe a playoff contender.
The best thing the Suns can do this season is play all the kids, be a really exciting team, and lose as many games as possible.
As many as you can. Don't try to lose.
No, but you still have, even when you're losing and you're an exciting young team, you still have sort of the eye of the valley. Like last year's team, it was a bunch of old players, a miscast roster, not fun to watch at all, not competitive at all. So now McDonough comes in, flips the roster. They're going to play a bunch of kids. Yeah, they're probably still going to suck, but it's okay because there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow if you can suck bad enough.
Yeah, and that's my only concern, is that the Suns are just good enough not to be bad enough. 25, 27 wins, 30 tops. I think the over-under you were telling me, E, in Vegas is 20.
Think about that, Mark.
I would
20.
Take
20. They play 81 games?
82 games.
82 games? So the Suns are only going to win one out of every four games?
I would take the over.
I would, too.
Like,
I would,
too. That's not many games.
Because there's other teams in the NBA that are going to suck, too, that the Suns are still can probably beat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the Bobcats. They play the Bobcats. That should be two wins right there.
Yeah. And I think there's, you know, there's some other really... I'm not sure I'm buying into the Minnesota just yet. I'm not sure Sacramento's that good. Utah struggled pretty mightily.
And the Suns will find a way to beat a couple
teams. So got Washington and Milwaukee, too.
That's true. They'll win a couple games they're not supposed to. So then you're already close to 10 right there. 20 seems really low.
I mean, you got easy wins against the Lakers, probably, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Probably one or two at least.
Maybe.
The Lakers. Ugh. You know what? The Dodgers are good. It's just fitting that the Lakers are going to kind of, they're not going to be very good. I love it. Love it.
Do over on that Steve Nash trade. Do over.
Anyway, so if you're the, if you're the Phoenix Suns fan, I know a lot of you are, hey, enjoy this team. Don't not back the team. Back this team. Back McDonough. Back Hornacek. Seriously, go back this team. Support them. But in the back of your mind, don't be mad when you leave the U.S. Airways Center, and they maybe lose a 94-89 squeaker.
Don't just be bad. Be really bad.
Be really bad. I am Mark Asher. I am filling in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat. This is his show on ProsToPreps.com.